Good evening. Welcome to Your Home Group. I'm Greg Stevens, and we are live on a Wednesday evening right here from the Revival Capital of the World. I want to welcome everybody that watches us all around on every available voice on Roku, Facebook, however you watch us. Dish Network, Channel 265. Dish, you've got a new friend. DirecTV is with us. We want to welcome you that are watching us on DirecTV, Channel 314. Welcome to Victory. Now, what is Home Group? Home Group is a Bible study, basically. It began with Brother Copeland back in the 70s. And the last few weeks, we've been off for 2 weeks because last week we had this little event called the Southwest Believers Convention.
That's great.
Man, was it wonderful or what? It was wonderful. You could go back and watch those sessions, kcm.org, and then you can go back and it'll tell you how to get there and to watch those on demand, kcm.org/on-demand, and you can watch those. And I encourage you to do so. But we were off then, and then the week before, we were praying for it. But the weeks prior to that, we had a Bible study on the Holy Spirit. What are the gifts of the Spirit? How am I filled with the Spirit? When did I get filled with the Spirit? And Pastor Duane was going to be with us, and then he's had some pastoral duties tonight. And we have the original group of Home Group here. And tonight, we're going to talk about some of the inspiration for Home Group, but testimony. So let me introduce you to everyone. My wife, Michelle, is next to me. Annette Taylor is over there. Hello, Annette. And then there's going to be people I met, and I want to, Cynthia, I don't know if you met her or not. I met a woman at the Southwest Believers Convention. I'm walking along, and I hear this person yelling at me, kind of in a New York accent, but yelling at me.
That's good.
And then I see her again at the hotel, and her whole thing was, "Where's Cynthia?" So listen, Cynthia's back.
Yay,
I'm
Cynthia.
I'm back.
So your New Yorkers were...
My New Yorkers, and she told me to say hello to her.
Yeah.
Hi, and I apologize for not remembering your name, so I'm not going to miss it. From Brooklyn, of course, from Brooklyn. So yeah, I am back.
And I told her
it's so good to be home.
And we're going to talk about testimonies in a minute. I told her you have a testimony that your son...
I do.
And so we want to cover that in a minute. I got one more to introduce.
Well, of course.
People always want to know what Cynthia's hair is going to be. Very nice.
This is here.
Here it is. And then Dale Mock is with us.
Hey, good to see you guys.
We're so glad you're here. Listen, if you have questions or comments, and especially if you have a testimony, I want you to get in touch with us tonight. You're part of this. Please text them to 682-302-1301. 682-302-1301. You can email them at askhomegroup@govictory.com. Facebook, the Victory Channel. I've got the iPad right here. It'll come directly to me. Or you can call. We have licensed prayer, trained prayer ministers available right now, 877-281-6297. So we want you to be part of that. Okay. We've had to shut down a lot of churches, and a lot of churches still aren't meeting. But that's okay, because this is the way the church started.
Yeah.
In Acts chapter 2, verses 44, 45, 46, 47. Listen to this. I'm going to read this to you. "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need." Listen to this verse 46. "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread," listen to this, "from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people." Listen to this. "And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." And that's what we're doing tonight. We're meeting house to house. Let me give you some more verses, because you say I've got to have in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Okay, here you go. Romans chapter 16, verse 3 says this, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles." Verse 5, "Likewise, greet the church that is in their house."
Wow.
So listen, church has come to your house tonight.
There you go.
Let me give you another one.
Yes.
1 Peter chapter 2. Mm-hmm. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. "Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house.
Right.
So you're a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I'll give you another one. Acts chapter 20, verse 20 and 21. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly, look at this, and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward Lord Jesus Christ. So, there we go. We've established in the Word of God that they met in situations like this. They prayed together.
Yes.
They studied the Word together.
Yeah.
They brought their friends to those meetings, and daily was added to the church. So I want to welcome you to, this is why it's called your home group. I want you to be part of this. Now, I'm going to grab the iPad, and I want to hear about your testimony. Guys, I was meditating this afternoon on this, and Bill Johnson said something at the Southwest Believers Convention that really, really got me. When we react to a situation, the situation controls us.
Yes.
Jesus was always in control. He never reacted to Satan, only to the voice of his Father.
That's right.
And so when I started looking at that, I've realized we've got to react to the voice of our Father, not be reactionary to everything that's going on in the world around us.
Because
there's a lot of stuff going on in the world around us. And we need to listen only to what the Father says. So I want to hear testimonies from you tonight. If you would call in or text them in about what God has been doing. Let's talk about his faithfulness. Sarah, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, herself received strength to conceive because she judged him faithful to promise. She put herself in remembrance. And so what I want you to do, that's Hebrews 11:11. What I want you to do is put yourself in remembrance of all the good things God's done for you since the first of this year and last year, because we're about to have a shout session here. Revelation 12:11. Why is that important? They overcame him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. It's
so
important.
It makes me think, when you say testimony, it makes me think about Abraham. So when anything great happened in his life, right, he built an altar.
That's right.
So we knew that he was a nomad, that he was He had sheep, he grazed his cattle. So he covered a lot of land. And whenever the Lord would meet his need or speak to him in a certain place, he would build an altar. So when he came around there again the next year, he's like, Lord, I remember. He remembered that testimony. Or somebody could walk up and say, what's this pile of rocks about, Abraham? And then he could give
well, when they crossed the Jordan, Dale.
Yeah, that's right.
They built up a memorial that it would be there so they could teach their children.
It would testify.
Well, that altar that Abraham built was still there with his grandson.
Yes, that's right.
And that became a place that God's presence was, because he had already dedicated that place, until the place that Jacob, his grandson, had renamed it Bethel, said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you build that place for God to meet with him, that becomes a place, a memorial that goes on and can go on through generations.
It speaks to you again over and over, and it speaks to others over and over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you want to talk about testimony.
No, I do. I want to hear, you know, you have a testimony. Let's get that first.
Yeah. I do.
Because you were out for a while.
I have been out. I was out for 7 weeks.
Okay.
So originally I left on May 31st to help my daughter having a minor procedure. And so just to kind of be there, because, you know, mom's food always tastes good when you need to. And even though I don't cook anymore, for my kids I'll cook. So I was there and she was doing okay. And my son had been there. So I said goodbye. I came on the Sunday. My son left Tuesday morning. The following Saturday was June 6th. I'm talking to my son on the phone, and he just loudly goes, what's this? What is this? What? Hold on. Puts the phone down. Well, what is it? Just like snake walk in your room? What? My daughter-in-law picked up the phone and said, I said, what's going on? She said, he has a pain in his chest. I said, pain in your chest? So I don't take it lightly. You know, we've
with Joe.
Yeah. almost 6 years ago,
sure,
next month.
Right.
Joe is your husband.
My husband.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason you don't cook, for the record,
is going to go Joe on the record. Cooks.
He's an Italian chef. Hello, he's an Italian chef. Go ahead.
Joe cooks. So why cook? I'm retired from cooking, unless I'm going to see my kids. So
now, this is a testimony of Joe, too, along with this.
And yes. Yeah. So I said, you know what? Take his pressure. And she did. And when I heard the bottom number was 44, I said, I'm not a doctor, but this does not sound good. And she took the other arm. I said, take him to the ER right now. And again, when you said react.
Reaction.
Yeah.
You have a choice to react or respond to situations. So she took him and she calls me back and says, you know, she's crying. They won't let me in. And he was collapsing by the time he got there. Because he had no feeling in his right leg. So they found out, long story short, he had a torn aorta and he was bleeding out. And so they called, they took him by Black Hawk helicopter. I tell him, what a way to get a ride in a Black Hawk. Been in the military. Mind you, he's getting ready to come out of the military.
Right.
This is days before his total retirement sign out. And he goes, they take him to the other hospital, Inova in Virginia. And they put him in surgery that night to repair this thing. And it tore. It was a good-sized tear. They called us. They said, well, you know, it's going to be a lot. He's going to be in the hospital for about a week. This is going to happen. And people, you know, my daughter-in-law was calling everybody. I didn't call anybody. Mm-hmm. I called one person. I did call our pastor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I called her. And I said to her, to my daughter-in-law, this is what I said. My reaction when she said, they took him in and it's, I said, do not cry, not now. We don't have time for crying. I said, so, and usually, you know, you're kind of careful about what you say to your daughter-in-law, you know, because you're not sure if you're going to say the wrong thing. At this point, I didn't care. This was my response. We will not cry about this. Philippians 4:7 says the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep his heart. Do you hear me?
Yes.
His heart is fine. We didn't lose him in 5 deployments. We are not going to lose him now. We'll bury no one. Do you hear me? Open your phone. Look at the scripture. That's where you keep your eyes.
That's right.
That's all I said.
That's right.
I said, I don't have time to cry. I mean, I was in this mode. This is what it is. We're not losing anybody. It never occurred to me that he would die.
Right.
Even though you know, back there, the devil's trying to, I don't have time for you either, devil.
Right.
This is the deal.
Right.
Because I had the same scripture that I had for Joe 6 years ago. But you see, what's out of the abundance of the heart, that's what comes up.
Right.
So, of course, they took him in, they flew him over. As he's going into the operating room, they put the phone to his ear and I said, hey, no fear.
Yeah.
I ain't got time to tell you mama loves you. I ain't got none of that.
Right.
I said, no
fear. He knows that.
Right.
He knows that. But he said to me, bulldog faith, mom. Tell Pastor George thank you for teaching me bulldog faith.
Yeah.
Call him, please, mom, and tell him. I said, okay.
Yeah.
But here's what God did for him. He is being wheeled in, and he heard my mother. Now, I don't care who believes this or not.
Right.
I'm telling you, he heard my mother chuckle and said, you're going to be all right. He said, Grandma said I was going to be all right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, she's part of the great cloud of witnesses.
Sure she is.
So he went in, but every step of the way, nurses prayed for him. Another nurse flew with him over to the other hospital.
Yeah.
As he's going in, the nurse says, can I pray with you? God had this set up for me to be on the phone because, you know, military
guy. He's not reacting.
He did not. He was as calm as.
No, the God, Father's not
reacting.
Father's
not reacting. Yeah,
he's got it planned out.
He's got it planned out. He had me on the phone with him because being a military guy, he said, you know, Mom, the pain was subsiding. I was going to take a Motrin. I said, no, yeah, I know, because you're a hot shot military dude.
Right.
I said, no, you were going to the ER. So now I'm in Atlanta with my daughter. So I fly into DCA to go to Fort Belvoir with him. He was out of the hospital. That was Saturday night. It was a 6-hour surgery, open heart, totally crack open the deal.
Yeah.
And he was home Wednesday night, which was unheard of.
Right. Mm.
He was home Wednesday night. And then after he got home, Joe flew in. Joe told him, this is what we're going to do. So we took over. And my daughter-in-law was okay with it. We took over.
Right.
And said, this is how you're going to eat. This is what you're going to do. And, you know, the first few nights were tough. I had his girls, my granddaughters. I said, take this psalm, read it to your dad. Read it out loud. Read it to your dad.
Yeah.
I made both girls read the Psalms to him, different Psalms. I said, now read this one. Now read this one. I said, now put on, turn on YouTube. There's a guy, Dappy Teasy, but he plays just Christian music, just piano. I said, you put that on, it stays on all night. So he was downstairs. My room was downstairs. He was down and he was on his recliner. Mm-hmm. So in the night, a couple of times he had to call me. I had to go rub something out, you know, cramp, right. Whatever it was. But we speak the word over right. him. By the time I left, so I stayed there 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. By the time I left, he and I were walking a mile.
Yeah.
Mm. God.
By the time I left, we were walking a mile. He is now down, as of today, 55 pounds.
Wow.
Crazy. He lost.
Wow.
Doing good. He's in cardiac rehab. He's ahead of everybody else. We actually went to see his pastor, and his pastor had prayed with. He said, I want to know the whole thing. So he talked. Well, here's what came out. My son said, well, everybody prayed. I said, boy, don't ever say that again. I said, your mother knew what to pray.
Yeah.
Because what's important
yeah.
is knowing what to say.
Yes.
Because there were other people that say,
not
you know.
Not reacting.
Not reacting. There were people going, don't let him die. That's not a prayer.
No.
That's not a prayer.
That's begging.
And it was. And I told my son, I said, it's not that I'm so great. Mm. It's not that I know so much. I knew one scripture that I was going to apply to this. I said, but if you don't know how to hit the bullseye
right.
when a situation happens.
Pastor Terry talks about people in prayer knowing how to use prayer like a yes. mechanic knows
yeah.
how
yeah,
to.
Like yeah. a tool.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I learned that from her.
Yeah.
I learned that from being in prayer groups here. You're knowing how to direct that prayer
okay.
straight.
While you're doing this, because I know there's an end to the story. We're going to get there. I did what I do to Dale. If you need prayer, listen, in all seriousness, the prayer lines, trained, licensed
Amen.
Prayer ministers
Amen.
Are available Call. Right now. Because some of you, I sensed the anointing while she was talking. I want that to happen to me. That will happen to
That'll
you.
That'll happen.
Call the number 877-281-6297, 877-281-6297, and they will pray with you yeah. right now. Go ahead, Cynthia.
So, I mean, 2 weeks later, he had to go back in. They had inserted chest tube, and there was a liter and a half of water, which was why he was so uncomfortable and having so many cramps. But even in that, I'd rub, I'd help. Mommy, you know, it's funny. You don't care how old you are.
Right.
You're still
hurt.
Mom.
Right.
Mommy. Mom. But, he is doing so well. But here's what he said. Every year, his church has 21 days of fasting in January. Well, he said, I took it further. He had been making sure to go past the 21 days. He was watching the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast every day.
Praise God.
Copying the notes,
yeah.
taking the notes down, right, and watching Brother Copeland. He said, tell Brother Copeland I've been watching. And he said, Mom, God was preparing me. I said, yes. Mm. Because you had enough word in you
Yeah.
to not get frightened
yeah.
and not react.
Right.
Yeah.
And he knew to call. Call your mama.
Yeah.
Call your mama. But because I know that word.
Yeah.
And I knew not to panic. And it was funny because I was in Atlanta when all of this was happening. And my daughter's friend was driving me to the stores.
Uh-huh.
Well, he told my daughter later, your mother? I never seen anything like that. She didn't miss a beat. She's shopping and she's saying all of this.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, because it was two separate things. My brain was going on to what I needed to do. For my son. But you know, what was the sweetest thing when I left, because I was making sure I wasn't leaving until I knew he was
sure.
okay. He could make his breakfast. He's walking around. He's doing his stuff. And because he's eating differently, because mm-hmm. I said, no, you can't have that. No, you know. But he texted me while I was at the airport. Mom, thank you for everything.
Amen.
Thank you for prayers. Thank sure. you for coming. Thank God you're my mother.
Amen.
That's, I was like, oh, this is so cute. I got to keep this.
Yeah.
Print it out.
So but, we want to get you involved in yeah. this. So I've got several of your comments and testimonies already. Thank you for doing so. You can send them by text to 682-302-1301. It's right up there on the bottom of the screen. 682-302-1301. Email them at haskhomegroup@govictory.com. If you're watching on Facebook, all you got to do is type it in. And I've got the iPad right here. They'll get it right to me. Okay. The concept of this Bible study format, started with Brother Copeland a long time ago from the 1970s. Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Savelle. We've got a clip that I want to show you where Brother Copeland's Bible study where he let Jerry Savelle lead for a little while. And Jerry shares how he had to learn to live his life in prayer and in faith, praying God's will, Cynthia, and believing it, that it will be done. Watch this. Here, we'll go back in time. Watch this.
The Lord has instructed me to give Jerry Savelle an opportunity to share some of the things that he's learned in this with you today. Jerry?
Okay. Praise the Lord. I might start with when I first got turned on to Jesus, I began to realize immediately that in order to fellowship with God and to develop a Christian life, a spiritual life with Christ, that I was going to have to learn how to pray, you know. And I'd already made up my mind that I was going to live by faith. I didn't know too many people doing that, but I'd made up my mind that's the way I was going to live. The Word said the just shall live by faith, and I decided that's the way I'm going to live. So I found in the Word of God that in 1 John 5:14 and 15, it says that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. Amen. Well, the thing that I saw right quick was that's where most Christians got hung up. They knew that if they prayed in line with God's will, it'd be done. But half the Christians didn't know what God's will was for the situation. Well, I found that God's Word is His will. And when I'd have my back up against the wall, I'd find the answer to it in the Word and then present that to God instead of the problem. Well, that immediately put 1 John 5:14 and 15 into my consciousness, you know, and I knew that if I ask anything according to His will, He heard me. And the 15th verse says, if I know He hears me, then I know I have the petitions that I've desired of Him. So that's a cinch. Praise the Lord.
So here we go. They're sitting on the couches and chairs talking like that. And here we are doing it tonight. And I want to thank you for being part of this. Okay, a lot of your questions and comments, a lot of testimonies.
That's great.
Here's one. I've been not wanting to go to my church on Wednesday night. not interested in the class they were teaching, same class over and over and over. However, I started watching Home Group, and I actually look forward to Wednesdays now.
Hey, well, thank you very praise much. God. Awesome. We're glad you're here.
But be faithful to your church.
Yes.
Rita says she loves Home Group. Here's a question for Cynthia. What was that scripture you used?
Philippians 4:7.
And it says what?
Philippians 4:7 says, the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus.
And so you said his heart
peace
is kept.
Peace will keep his heart. Mm-hmm. Peace will keep his heart. Peace will keep his mind.
His mind also.
His mind also.
Yeah.
My heart, my mind.
Yes. Amen. Come
on. Everybody's heart and mind.
And the Word of God's alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it does the work. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. You believe it, it'll go to work, won't it, Cynthia?
Yeah, it will go to work.
I like it.
Yeah.
Testimonies, guys?
Well, I got a few, but I'll just give you one where I saw the mighty hand of God. My daughter had a stroke, and so I get this call from her friend. He says, Karen's not breathing. I can't wake her up. And I said, well, call 911. He said, she's not breathing. Do you hear me? Mm. She's not breathing. I said, call 911. She's going to be all right. So I'm the only one in the office that day, so I call Sharon, and I said, Sharon, I have to go to the hospital. I said, Karen's had a stroke, and I need to go down there and speak to her. So I went down there. I never lost my cool whatsoever, but I knew that God had a plan for her life. Mm-hmm. I knew that He had a plan for her life, even though she ran from that, up and down, would run from the call of God that was on her life. And so finally, they let me go in the room where she was, and they were trying to get her breathing and putting her on different things. And so when you're sitting there looking at that, your mind is going somewhere. Yeah. But I never said a word. I just laid my hands on her and just demand life to flow in her. Well, life wasn't flowing in her. So they take her up to the room, and then all of us are around her bed, and the doctor says, well, we're going to put her on life support, and if she makes it till Monday morning, then we'll take the life support off and just let her go. So I said to the kids, I said, well, here's all I'm going to say about this. And I looked down at Karen and I said, Karen, put your eyes on Jesus and go wherever he goes, you go with him, wherever he takes you. So never said another word, never prayed another prayer. And then Pastor Terry and George, they called me and want to know, and I told them how we prayed, and they said, we're right there with you. So for all that week, she's laying there, no life at all, just life support going. So that Sunday afternoon, I go to church. Pastor George prays for me, so I go to the hospital. I walk in the room, and she opens her eyes, and she says, I said, Karen, where have you been? She said, Mother, I went to, heaven, and I saw this great big golden temple. And Jesus told me there's nothing I can do to make him not love me.
That's right. Aww.
She came to her, she didn't come to her senses all at that time, but she began to improve. And so today, she is the most perfect individual. She is so perfect. Dale, you know that.
Yeah,
she's so perfect. She has everything just right.
Yes.
And she's training me now to put things where they belong.
Yeah, so that, what you just said there is critical. If you want to grow in Christ, if you want to develop in faith, is knowing his love for you rather than relying on your love for him.
Right.
Yes.
Once you know his love for you, that was John the Apostle's confession.
Yeah.
The disciple whom the Lord loved. Oh. Peter never wrote that about John. John wrote that about John.
That's right. Yeah.
And that was, seriously, that was his confession.
He knew who he was.
That I am the disciple whom the Lord loved. Let me give you a couple of testimonies that have come in. At 12 years old, I was called to adopt. I thought my husband and I would adopt one or two children, and we've adopted four.
Praise God.
In 3 years, my husband's pay has increased 9 times. We have seen generational curses broken in the adopted children. My parents raised me watching Kenneth Copeland Ministries. I introduced my husband to it. I go on and on. But God's goodness to us, he has given us absolutely everything we've ever asked for and more with no lack of good things. Praise the Lord. Okay, now you have a testimony on a school trip about our youngest son talking about that very, very same thing about responding rather than reacting. Go ahead.
What you hear is so vital. What we subject ourselves to, what we listen to, is so vital. And I was so drawn to Kelly Copeland when she gives her testimony about her daughter and when she says, no fear, no fear here. And we were on a school trip and we were on a mission trip in El Salvador. And I noticed that some of the boys got out in the ocean a little far. And I noticed.
Well, it was during the supermoon.
Yes, it was, the tide was coming in.
If you know anything about the supermoon, you don't get in the ocean during those heavy tides.
Because the waves are so high.
Our lifeguard was not there. They didn't show. And so I see two heads bobbing up and down way beyond the current. And I'm on the beach. And I knew that was my son going up and down. I knew that my youngest son, who is very tall, but he's so thin. Thankfully, one of the senior boys was with him, so I saw both of them. And here I am with a group of kids, and I'm one of their leaders, and they think I'm going to fall apart. They're concerned about me because Mitchell's out there fighting for his life. And the teachers, the male teachers, went out. They couldn't go out because, you know, they knew that current was going to get them as well, and they're larger. I knew there was nothing physical that I could do to get
in,
to go get him.
You know what a riptide?
Yes.
So we often, you know, if you operate in the flesh, you get flesh results.
Yes. Right.
So if I were...
Oh, wait a minute. Say that again. You got to hear that.
Yes.
Go ahead.
If you operate by the flesh, you will get flesh results. So I knew the Lord, this was so good. Listen, when I say no emotion hit me, no emotion hit me. I knew what God had put in my heart. And so I stood in the water because if I would have tried to go out there to get him, I would have died. I could have died. Right? So I would have gotten a flesh result. So that is not going to help either of us.
Right.
The only thing the Lord led me to do was to command the wave.
Oh, good.
That's all I heard.
That's right.
That's all I heard. Mm-hmm. And so I stood in the water, and all I kept saying, this is all that came. And I tell you, when the peace of God, like you said, the peace of God rules and reigns your heart and mind, you will hear what the Spirit is saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why emotion can't get involved, because you can't hear.
You can't hear.
Yeah.
So I stood in the bank of the cove there, and all I kept saying is, calm down. Calm down. Let him in. Calm down, let him in. That's all I had.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus, in the authority that I have been given, calm down and let him in.
Yeah.
Now, it took a good 20 minutes for him, but I knew he would come in.
Yeah. Yeah.
I knew he would not die out there. Mm-hmm. I knew he was coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that is the essence of faith.
Yeah.
But had I not heard a testimony from Kelly Copeland when she talked about her daughter dying and no fear here. That's all I heard. No fear here. There's no fear.
Right.
We are going to operate in what I hear the Spirit of God say.
Yes.
And that is what I speak, because I had the authority.
People trying to pray with you.
I had the kids around me.
Stop, stop.
The kids were like, are you okay? Are you okay? And I just
move.
You know, you just kind of block them out and you just walk and you just start, and they watched.
There's no time for prayer meetings.
There was no time. But they watched faith. In action.
In action. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
They got to witness the voice power of God in action.
Yes. And you acted on it.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, he came out and everybody was there, and we were able to physically take care of him. It took a good 2 hours to just make sure that all was well. But emotion didn't hit me at all until I called Greg and said, this is what just happened.
And then,
and then the emotion.
Wait, stop. What happened? Tell me what? Huh?
And it was just a release that needed to happen.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But I knew once he was safe, once he was fine,
it was okay.
It was okay.
Thank you.
Well, you know, emotion is fleshly.
Soul realm. Yeah.
So you didn't allow the emotion.
Now, this goes to one of you just ask a question about that. So go
emotions
ahead.
Emotions is fleshly. So you knew what to do. I mean, you knew what to do. It wasn't time for emotion, because emotion was going to get you nothing.
Right.
Probably die out there.
Right.
But you knew you were speaking to those waves, that water. You calmed down. Calm down.
Mark 11, 23, 24, have heard it for years and years and years and years.
Right. Yeah.
And yet, how many times do we put it in action?
Yes. Yes.
And I realize who I am in Christ, what he's given us.
Yes.
And this is the faith that we live.
It reminds me of a story in the Bible, and I'll share it with you in a second from Matthew. But guys, if you would please, first of all, keep texting, messaging, whatever it is. But also, if we could continue to often don't put the phone number up, the prayer line is open.
Yeah.
And somebody you've already been ministered to during this time in our home Bible study, you've been ministered to, and faith has arisen in you. And if it can happen for Cynthia's and if it can happen for Annette, if it can happen for Michelle's son, then I hope it could happen for me. Listen, that's faith arising in you right now. So listen, call the number.
Yes. God is no respecter.
Amen. Call the number right now. 877-281-6297. Okay, Matthew, Jesus is on the water. Remember, he tells peace. He commands the waves, exactly what you did. And he goes over to a region called the Gadarenes. Remember this?
Yes.
And the demoniac guy, they tried to bind him with chains. They tried everything.
Right.
He comes running toward him. And falls down and worships him.
Yeah.
And then the demons start speaking up, don't torture us. They knew.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They already knew they were defeated.
Yeah.
And this is, if you want to know where this is, it's Mark chapter 5. And I'll tell you the story, and then I want you to pay attention to verse 18, because it goes with what we're doing tonight. The demons ask, can we go into the pigs? There's a whole group of pigs. And it talks about there were people there that take care of the pigs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people don't realize that side of the Sea of Galilee. Why were there pigs in Israel? I'll tell you why there were pigs in Israel, because there's Roman soldiers in Israel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the reason they ran him out is because those pigs were the food source of that Roman garrison.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And now when those pigs are gone, guess what? The Romans are going to be mad.
Yeah. Where's my
right?
pigs?
No prosciutto.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that. It's like, the prosciutto and cup of coal and
none. Pepperoni.
Right? No pepperoni.
So.
Because you know I'm Italian, right?
Those people are thinking, we're in trouble.
Exactly
when the pigs ran away. This is why they ran Jesus out of there. So it's a very interesting thing. In verse 18, this young man, after he's totally in his right mind and everything, and when he'd got into the boat, Jesus is back in the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged that he might go with him. And then the verses after that, Jesus said, no, go back to where you came from and tell all that God has done for you.
Yes.
So Jesus said for him to go testify. Why didn't he let that guy go with him? One of two things. That whole region was Gentile. That's the cities of the Decapolis.
Right.
There were 10 cities. There's one of two things in play here. Either he's not Jewish, he's Greek or Roman, or and that wouldn't have been good. And or two, he's Jewish, but he's Hellenized, meaning his family is living like a Greek, Gentile, whatever. So he didn't let him go with him. But he sent him to go testify. See, here's the deal. You may not be called into ministry. You may not be sent to go to these places, but you are called to go testify.
Oh, he went and testified, didn't he?
You're called to go tell the goodness and the things that God has done for you.
Yes.
Okay, so Dale, you have a question.
Oh.
And you must know this person.
Okay.
It says Emma from Southwest Believers Convention.
Yeah. All these folks, we had a blast. It was probably
awesome.
A good 20
Dale
people.
Was talking to everybody.
Oh, man, we had a blast. We had a good time.
We did.
And I say hello to everybody. Thank you for stopping by and saying hey.
Okay, Dale, what's the difference between faith and hope?
Okay. So faith, remember that...
this is Emma wants to know.
Emma. So Emma, faith resides in your heart realm. Okay, that's your believing part of you, the part that believes. All right, then your hope can be in your soul realm where you see something, a picture. So let's say I'm hoping for this to happen. I'm imagining this to happen. So when you get a word from, this is what Abraham, we'll take the scripture. Abraham, it said, he used hope against hope, right? So he had two images, in other words. He had a hope that the Lord had promised him they would have a child. But he also had a leftover hope, which was an image that he would never have a child.
So he had a contradiction to that promise.
It's a contradiction.
That is too old.
You can use those hopes as images or pictures. You can break it down just to an image or a picture that you're carrying with you. So all his life, he carried with him, I can't have kids. My wife can't have kids. My picture is I'll never have kids. And when I leave this planet, my servant will inherit all this. Mm-hmm. He said that to the father, right? So the father said, no. Let me give you a different hope. Let me give you a different picture. Let me tell you who you are. And when he believed or took this hope or took this picture, this word, remember, words are pictures. So the word that he gave him, he said, no, you're going to have a child. You are the father of many nations. He put that. He said, you'll have a child of your own loins. So he went all the way. He said, see this child in you. This child comes out of you. You've been picturing all this time that this will never happen. So this is what's great about that scripture. What I love about that scripture, it says, once he believed that, he became righteous. So up to that point, we could say he was unrighteous because the picture that he carried was a picture that he didn't get from God. But when you agree with the word that God speaks over you, you become righteous or you become on the same page with God. He said, here's my picture of you. If you'll accept it, you'll be right. You'll be right with me. We'll be working off the same paperwork, Dale. If you'll say what I say about you, if you actually believe what I say about you, you'll be righteous or on the right page with me. That's the way the Lord speaks to me that way. He says, you're right. You're finally on the right page. That's before good. You were on the wrong page. You had the wrong picture. Mm-hmm. You had the wrong hope. Mm-hmm. So that's why we stay in the scripture. We get words that the Father quickens to us who we are in Him, what we can do in Him. Mm-hmm. And then we're righteous with that with Him.
That's good. So many people, and listen, there's so many of you watching us tonight, and many of you are watching us on DirecTV, and I want to welcome DirecTV. Thank you also Dish Network and all those that are joining us literally from the top to the bottom and all the way around the middle of the world. DirecTV is on channel 314. If you know somebody that has DirecTV, let them know. Or Dish Network, channel 265.
Can I say something else about hope?
Yeah.
Because I am back. I'm back. Yeah.
Well,
but let me see. Go ahead and you
Christina,
say what you have to say.
Christina, it's 2 a.m. where you are, and I want to thank you for being with us. And she's been getting prophetic words, doesn't know what to do. Write them down.
Write them down. Yeah.
Write them down. Start there. Okay, go, Cynthia.
So, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope.
Right.
So, there's the hope that people go, I hope so.
Right.
A hope that you don't really know. You just hoping. It's a wish.
Right. It's in soul realm area.
But then there's the hope. There's the blessed hope.
That comes from the Father.
There's the blessed hope that, right. that comes. Also, because we have a hope. As people who don't know Jesus, when they go to a funeral, this is it.
Right.
So they have no hope. We don't sorrow like them.
That's right.
Because we do have a hope yes. that right. we'll see yeah. them, this person yes. again. Also in Hebrews 6:19, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul.
Correct. Yeah.
Both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil.
Right.
We have this hope that presence. So, yeah.
So that's when you're talking about anchor, mm-hmm. right? So in other words, the soul is movable.
Yeah.
It's rockable.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's shakable. Yeah. So Abraham dwelt in that hope where his soul was shaken.
At some point, he became
all the
fully
time.
Persuaded.
Yeah. So when he took that other hope that the Lord gave him, which is in the form of a word picture, mm-hmm. you'll be the father of many nations, his soul calmed down.
Mm-hmm.
All the experiences that he was living in calmed down.
Mm-hmm. Years.
It took a few years. Okay.
Years. Fully persuaded.
He's fully persuaded. Where?
Yeah.
Where was he persuaded? In his heart realm.
Yeah. Heart,
his
heart
believing
realm.
Portion yeah. of him. Yeah.
Okay. So, you ready for a praise report?
Yeah.
Yes.
Here is a good one. This is from Stella. Stella's praise report. Said that we shut down the news and the evil reports about COVID-19 from the beginning of the quarantine. We got established in faith that God was our healer and our protector.
Yeah.
Listen to this. My husband and I and my three children were positive for the virus. Okay? But the faithfulness of God, we had mild symptoms, no complications at all. We're back to normal within 8 days.
Praise yes. God.
Amen. So the weapon that was prepared for us.
Yes.
Failed.
Yes.
And that's a word for somebody
yes.
in there.
Amen.
That the weapon
yes.
prepared
See,
for
what the enemy meant for bad.
Yeah.
God meant for good.
God turned. Yes. Turned so for good.
Did she say she's been watching a broadcast or she attended South?
But they got into the word. I mean, they were quarantined, so they really had been.
Well, you know what they did? Here's what they did. It just dawned on me what they did. They shut off
the news. They shut off the voices
like you did and like
right.
you did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So here's the scripture for that. You know, we started with Acts 2. Here's Acts 3. So
okay.
Acts 3, verse 5. And he's Peter and John are walking up to the gate. Beautiful.
Right.
And there's a guy, you know, there begging. And so you guys study this at home. All right. So go through it's the first 1-10 verses there in Acts 3. But this is what got my attention. This is because we're talking about attention right now. Mm-hmm. So Peter and John walked up and the gentleman, the beggar, was asking for alms, or he was asking for power, or he was asking for hope, or what is in you? Can you help me out? Mm-hmm. Right. And it says, this is what Peter and John said to, this is what Peter said to him. He said, look at me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Look at us.
Look at us. So he was a beggar. Mm-hmm. We know his feet were crippled. So what was he looking at? looking at the issue. But they walked up and said, look at me. Get your eyes off the problem and look at me. And this is what he said. This is what it says in 5. So he gave them his attention. Mm-hmm. The beggar gave. He had something to give.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He gave his attention. That we talk about seed all the time.
Yeah.
If you ain't got anything to give, give your attention.
Praise God.
I heard a quote this morning. What your attention, where you rest your attention, is how you are changed. Mm-hmm. So he gave them attention.
Yeah.
He said, mm-hmm. and then it says this. He gave them his intention, expecting to receive.
Yeah.
Expecting.
Yeah.
Well, that's the next word in the ABCs of faith, right? You expect, you believe, and that he would receive something from them. Mm-hmm. And what they had, they said, listen, we ain't got gold and silver with us today, but we got something. Mm-hmm. God, Jesus Christ empowered us to use his name.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what you were using with your son.
Yes.
You were using the power because he's given us the power.
Yeah.
To drive out what? Devils, mm-hmm. sickness, disease. So her testimony, she changed her attention, Greg. Mm-hmm. She changed her attention. She gave her attention, not to CNN or to the news.
Take heed what you hear.
Take heed what you see.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. What's it say? It says, pay attention to my word and all your ways will be led into prosperity. That's a...
Acknowledge him in all your ways. Give him your full attention.
Mm-hmm. Give him your attention.
And he will direct your
yeah. He'll turn things around.
Yeah,
because that is, like you said, here was the end of it, which I forgot. Mm-hmm. So my son was getting
the end of your son's story.
He's getting ready to retire.
Mm-hmm.
He was on what they call terminal leave.
Right.
Because he's got to use up all his leave days. So his last day, totally out the army, August 1st. This happened June 6th. He was finishing terminal leave. So when his wife called different people and said, what happened? The Army put him back on active duty so that they could put him on convalescent leave.
Okay.
So that they can retire him medically.
Yeah.
Which means he will never pay for anything medical mm-hmm. in his life. Praise God.
Ever. That's good. That's good.
Not only that, he won't pay tax on his house.
That's got that
right. Wonderful.
He won't pay tax on his one car. If they have two cars, one car, no tax. And his children go to college.
So he got a big raise, didn't he?
What the enemy meant for bad, God turned for good.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Because here he was already thinking, where am I going to move to? He already had the job that he got.
Right.
The civilian job, they're holding it for him till he's finished with all his rehab and everything. Yeah. That's what God is doing.
Now, that sounds like God, doesn't it?
Doesn't that sound like
that
God?
That sounds just like God.
That's kind of like coming out of Egypt. And here, take some of this.
And here, let me get that.
He's got more than enough.
All of that. He's got the spoil.
Okay, so that goes right to this text message that came in that says, how do I live a life that's not of defeat?
You have to make a choice.
It's a choice.
Yes, make a choice.
That's what, go back and listen to Brother Copeland during the Southwest Believers Convention. Yeah. His first thing he said, out the gate, choice.
Well, he said this. He said, why do bad things happen to good people? Because of the choices
they
make.
And he said, there are choices.
And there's good things that happen to bad people. Why? Because they make good choices.
Yeah. I saw a really funny cartoon a week or so ago, and it talked about perspective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so there's this guy on this deserted island, you know, with one palm tree, you know, if you can picture it.
Yeah.
And then there's a guy coming in a little rowboat, and they can see each other, and the guy on the island goes, a boat! And the guy in the boat goes, an island! It's just, you know, it's just the perspective of where you're at.
Right.
The guy in the boat wants to be off the boat and on the island. The guy on the island wants to be on the boat. Yeah. And it just depends on your perspective and what you're looking at.
Your attention.
Amen. And what your attention is on.
Yeah, that's really good.
Okay, let's see. Here's this lady, Cindy is her name. Mom went to heaven in January. Her father also is in heaven. She talked about that she had extensive testing and two surgeries, pathology report that showed cancer. She's now cancer-free without needing chemo.
Praise God.
And the Holy Spirit helped me through everything and continues to comfort me.
Yes.
Listen to this. He's always lifted me up and speaks to me what I need,
yes,
as well as leading me to turn on the Victory Channel.
Amen.
Just in time to hear exactly what I need at that moment. Praying in the Spirit lifts me up, gives me strength. Yes. And Kenneth Copeland Ministries and the prayer ministers have agreed with me so many times. Amen. Somebody just thought, well, I don't want to call them. I called them yesterday and I called them last week. They don't matter. Call them.
Yeah.
Call them. They don't care. Well, guess who called again? They don't care. They're going to agree with you.
Amen.
Jesse Duplantis said it this way, that you need a two.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody needs, why do we need a two? We're two.
Agreement.
Agree.
Agreement.
Agree. Or an agree.
Yeah. As touching one thing.
As touching on earth, it shall be done.
Yeah.
My Father, which is in heaven. And so listen, you got a whole building over there full of prayer ministers that are your two.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. So use them. Call them. The number's right there on the screen, 877-281-6297. All right.
Amen.
What a night.
I'll give you a testimony. You want a testimony?
Oh, we haven't got a testimony from you.
Yes. I'll bring that up.
Now, we have limited time.
How much time we got?
Start your testimony.
Okay. So, you know, me and Annette have a Bible study. So, it's a group of men, a group of ladies. And Annette wasn't there. You weren't there that night. It's been about 4 years ago. And so, I'm teaching. And the telephone rings. And one of the guys gets up, takes the telephone, and he goes and gets another guy and brings the telephone to him. It is Wayne. And then, you know, I see kind of some stuff going on. And I'm going, Wayne, did you okay? He said, well, I just got a telephone call. My son, they found him dead. Found my son dead. He's been, they don't know how long he's been dead, but he's had a drug overdose of, I think it was heroin, something like that. And a couple of guys start quoting scripture. And, of course, I get quiet. I'm going, I'm running it, right? Or I'm the spiritual lead at that point. I'm like, Father, what do you want to do? And about that time, one of the pastor that runs the home gets up and says, Wayne, we're going to pray over you, and you're only going to say what you want to see.
Say it again.
You're only going to say what you want to see. Mm-hmm. So Wayne started going through all the things that had been spoken over his son's life. Because the young man had been there before. You'll live and not die. You'll live and declare the works of the Lord. You're a prophet. You're a priest. He went through everything that he wanted to see. He didn't say anything else. And then if you follow the Holy Spirit, this is the key to it. It's the key to everything, in fact. It kind of went down a little. You could feel the Spirit. Okay, so I said, everybody go sit down. We're just going to figure out what the Lord wants us to do here. So then one lady stood up, bound to power of darkness, things that were working against this young man. And then that kind of calmed down. And the Lord said to me, he said, Dale, he said, can you receive him back unto life? And he didn't use the word back from the dead. He said, can you receive him back unto life? And this is a key word that he said to me. It changed my life. He said, remember, I said, all things are possible
to him that believe
at the same moment in time. And when he said that, I saw a silver ball bearing about that big that represented a moment in time. And then I saw thousands of silver strings coming off of it. He said, Dale, anything can happen right now. A billion possibilities are right here. But I'm telling you, can you receive him back unto life? I said, Lord, I can do that. So I looked down one string. I said, Lord, this is my string right here. And the Lord said, tell these guys to receive this young man back unto life. So I said, this is what the Lord's saying. Receive him back. Just everybody get quiet. Be quiet and receive him back unto life. Now, I knew what it meant to me. I didn't know what it meant to them. So we were there for 5 minutes, stone quiet. Telephone rings. Boy's been dead for over...
Didn't even know how long he was dead.
Yeah, they found him dead. So it's been 30 minutes. hey, he came back to life. He about kicked the doors off the ambulance on the way to the hospital. So the Lord taught me through that, right? Everything is possible to you tonight at the same moment in time. What can you receive from the Father? That's where you get quiet, get some directions for you. All right. Healing, health, finances, family issues, anything like that. Pick the string.
Pick the string. All right. Let me give you some testimonies real quick. Testimony, I was driving in July for the tent revival that was here.
Yes.
There were two storms beside me, lightning in front of me. I said, in the name of Jesus, you're going to stay in your place because I got to get to Texas. Amen. And they made it safely and went through. Been watching DirecTV from day to night since Monday.
All right.
And I'm so happy to have victory. We're so happy you're with
yes,
us.
Thank you for joining
that's
us.
Aaron. Thank you for watching. Aaron, tell somebody about Victory Channel. Here's Barb that I watch and listen day and night. Here's Cheryl says, home group is such a blessing. We've got just a short amount of time. That's why I'm getting as many as I can. He didn't read mine. Well, I'm doing them. Cheryl, home group is such a blessing. I've learned so much. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has taught me so much. Things I've never learned in my own church. And I get it. I understand it when I watch home group. Glory
good
to God.
Glory to God.
Amen. These are good words. There was another one up here. Joseph out of debt and still out of debt.
Yes.
And so these are great, wonderful testimonies. And I want to thank you for being part of this tonight with us. I got to find a place to put that. Could you hold that? And you can tell me if any more come up. Guys, it's so fun to have the original group back and hear what God's been doing in your life. A little quick final thought, and then we'll wrap some things up here. Final thought. We can't react to a situation only to the voice of our Father.
That's right.
Stop the fear. Did you hear what I just told you? Stop the fear. God
no
will
fear.
Turn it around for good.
Yeah.
When we're full of the Word of God, what's in us will come out.
Yeah.
If we operate by the flesh, we'll get flesh results. The thing we must do is say what we hear the Father say.
Yes.
And do what we see the Father do. When we allow the peace of God to rule the situation, you'll hear His voice. And He'll tell you what to do. Yeah. Emotions won't help you in that moment. You'll have to do the Word. We overcome him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Testify to the great things that God has done in your life. I mean, he hadn't done anything. Yes, he has. Let me give you one. He said, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you would be saved. Did you do it? Yes. When you messed up after you saved, he said, if you would repent of it, he'd bring you right back. Did you do that?
Yes.
He said he'd fill you with the Holy Spirit. Did he do that?
Yes.
Any of you ever been healed?
Amen.
And he's been faithful. I just gave you over and over and over and over and over the faithfulness of God. If that's all you've got, then stand on that. Okay, tomorrow night, America Stands. Election coverage in the Spirit of Faith is kicking off at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Central. Don't forget morning prayer at 9:30 a.m. Eastern, 8:30 Central daily. The prayer line is still open, 877-281-6297. Victory Update is every afternoon. Keep it right here on the Victory Channel. Yeah. Don't forget EMIC services this Sunday. And on August the 30th, tell somebody about this, David Barton will be at Eagle Mountain International Church. We love you so much and we bless you. And Father, real quick, Father, we bless them in the mighty name of Jesus.
Father.
I thank you this word will not be stolen in Jesus' name.
Thank
they are healed
you,
and whole.
That's
and the devil is broken off of their life
That's
in Jesus'
right.
name. Know this, God loves you and we all love you. And what?
Jesus is Lord.
We'll see you next week.
See you guys.